from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Good Atheist. My name is Ryan, and unfortunately, Jake is not with us today. I don't know where the heck he could be, but fortunately, I do have a special guest with us once again. He's gracing us with his holy presence. It's God, everybody. God, thank you for coming on to the show, God.
Yes, make this quick. I have lots of things to do.
Okay, well, the way that it works when we have you on is that we put up a post on the website asking people to ask the questions that we want to know the answer from you, because obviously, I think you could agree that sometimes your edicts and your ways are a little bit mysterious, a little bit contradictory. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I think I take some perverse pleasure in watching you twist and turn as you attempt to understand this. It's quite amusing. You're all fools.
I must say it is quite nice of you to take some time and speak to the atheist contingent. Because I know, a lot of gods might be a little bit upset at the fact that, you know, we don't believe in you and everything else like that. So, I just, you know, thank you for not smiting us. Thank you for taking the time to answer our questions. And who knows, maybe you'll get some converts out of this, right?
And who knows, maybe I'll smite you at the end.
Oh, God. Okay, let's get right into the questions then. Andy Scott asks, "Dear God, could you create a rock so big and so heavy that even you couldn't lift it? Yours, a smug twat."
Well, listen up, you smug twat. Hey, wait. No, that doesn't sound as satisfying when you call yourself that. I keep wondering why people ask me this question. First of all, it's not that insightful. You know, they've been going... I've been hearing about this for hundreds of years. Came back from the Middle Ages. Oh, can you make one so big that you can't lift it? I mean, I hate you. I should create a rock to smash into you and destroy the whole planet. I might just do that. I'm so sick and tired of you tiny little creatures even questioning my power. I can do what I want. Does that answer your question?
Well, I suppose it does to a certain degree, but we could just roll on. We'll see. Here's the next one. Michael Vester wants to know, "What's the deal with foreskins? You create all men with foreskins, and then you want them to be surgically removed. What do you do with all those foreskins?"
You know, well, first of all, the foreskin is like a test, right? Think about Abraham. He was a grown man. Every one of his slave was a grown man. And when I told him about the covenant, I told him to cut off the most sensitive piece of his dick. Like, cut this off for me right now to show me how much you love me. And I don't know if you noticed, but I get really crazy about that shit. Remember when I was chasing him around for not having circumcised one of his kids? I was ready to kill the motherfucker. And why? Because there was skin on the end of his dick. If you have that skin, I will kill you. Just because you don't want to suffer for me. It's a simple test. Come on now.
So if we have are you saying that foreskin is more important than, loving Jesus and accepting him as your savior?
Well, it's a first step. I mean, if you can say that you love someone, but you got to prove it, right? You got to do the whole Van Gogh thing, but with your cock.
Fair enough. Okay. Laura wants to know, "Dear Mr. God, if humankind lost confidence in your ability to rule over your creation and decided to elect a deity through a democratic process, would you participate in the election? How would you sell yourself to voters?"
A democracy. I don't even understand. What are you reading? A democracy. There's one guy who rules. I'm that guy. I rule. That's the deal. It's not like this is a negotiation. In a democracy where you're like, ooh, the people get to decide, hey, what's going on? We'd like to have our vote. Shut up, you ants. You're nothing, okay? I laid out the rules. They're very simple. I made you. You praise me. You give me foreskins. And you do everything my son tells you, my little crony son. Even if he's telling you stuff that just makes absolutely no sense. Like, if he's telling you to abandon your fucking families, do what he says. Do what he fucking says. He's my son. I'm in charge here. I'm also lazy.
And isn't Jesus technically you as well?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone who has a son technically has a him, right? It's like a, you get half a you in whatever disappointment you have going on in your life. That's what you have genetically. You have half of it. And trust me, it's always going to be a disappointment. So that's the first lesson that you should know, dads.
Okay, now we're going to get a little bit more theoretical here. I got two questions that are kind of the same question, so I'll kind of group them together. Freaked Out Friday, are you an atheist or do you believe in a higher power? And Mike wants to know, while you're here, given that you're omniscient, you don't happen to know of any evidence for your own existence, do you? So basically, they want to know what evidence there is that you actually exist.
Yeah, they want to feel clever as shit is what they want. They're asking me, hey, are you an atheist because you don't believe in a higher power? Like, ooh, bam, I've thrown you in a quandary because now the definition is you have to believe in higher power. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I exist outside your laws of logic, fool. Am I an atheist? I believe in me, all right? I ultimately praise me, and that was not enough. That's why you exist. I am so awesome that even my awesome praise needs a little bit more. And trust me, whatever praise you give me is so little that I'm not even sure if I can appreciate it. Like, most of the time, I don't even care. You know, the stuff that happens, like disasters and shit, that's me not caring, bitch. It's like, the laws of nature do that for you. I mean, occasionally, yeah, I will smite you for doing all kinds of things like supporting civil rights for homosexuals. I just dislike that. Please stop. I'm going to keep on smiting the world if you keep doing that. I tells you.
So all the smiting is the evidence that you exist?
I think that's, yeah, like the specific smiting. The one where it's obvious. Like Haiti. I mean, it's obvious that I hate the place. Come on. An earthquake on essentially the world's dumping ground. Can you get any more of a dick, right? It's what I'm doing. It's obvious that they're cursed. Jeez, get with the program.
You did kick them while they were down, I must say that.
It's beautiful, isn't it? I think I do my best work when people are down.
Okay, Brennan wants to know, dear God, if you are all-knowing, then is there really free will, or is life simply arbitrary?
Man, I love this concept of free will. Even my own followers get all obsessed about it. They're like, we have free will. Well, I mean, it's really not explicitly discussed. Where, please tell me where in the Bible is it saying that you have free will? I want to see those words anywhere. Free will is one of those luxuries that you've been afforded because I've been incredibly lazy and I left my shitty son in charge, okay? But when you go back, when you look back at when I was running things, when I was following the Jews around in my crazy dark cloud of sky power, okay, when that was going down, I was just wiping people out for begging for meat, okay? I was not the kind of guy that takes, you know, criticism very well. And this whole free will idea, you know, that's where begging for meat and getting yourself killed leads to. No. Simple rule, absolute submission. So if you want to be part of that whole free will bandwagon, then you join the groups that are going to hell, essentially.
Okay, Raiden Anviler asks, God, I was wondering how a supreme being lives. You know, I would like to know what it's like to be God. Do you eat? Do you pee and poo? In other words, describe to me what a normal life in the day of God is like.
Well, first of all, when you wake up, which is, I mean, an eternity to you, but my morning, if you want, consists of mostly self-praise. I mean, just read the first couple books of Genesis, right? You open it up, and what am I always saying? I saw that it was all good. Everything that I make is just so good that I wake up, look down at my creation, and I'm just like, ah, basking in my glory. And then I listen to see if down there they're chanting the right chants and slaughtering animals in a very specific fashion. And when that happens, I get, you know, it's jubilation. I'm like, hey, is that guy cooking bread with his own shit? Fan-fucking-tastic. Excellent. Hey, that dude's not putting yeast in his bread. Great. Now I'm having a good day. But recently, I gotta tell you, I mean, and by recent, I mean recent to me, not to you fucking tiny little specks that keep popping in and out of existence. No. I'm talking in deity time here. Yeah. In deity time, you know, after a short little while, what do I watch? Everyone's forgotten my fucking commandments. I got my eyes closed for like 15 minutes. The sun is given like 5 seconds of power. I'm like, yeah, go out there. Tell them whatever. I don't give a shit. I'm busy doing something else. Crafting this crazy planet you would not believe. This planet of horrors. Just full of horrors. Be awesome. Anyways, I was working on that project, and guess what? Fucking Junior convinces you dickheads to somehow stop doing what you're doing. I don't even know how it happened. Honestly speaking, no one really does know. It's probably just a whole bunch of grab for powers from you crazy monkeys. I don't even care. But regardless, everyone forgot about the slaughtering. Whatever happened to the slaughtering, man?
You miss the animal sacrifice?
Oh man, I miss the smell of innocent blood, you know, I miss the smell of blood from a sheep that hasn't been fucked by a farmer. There's something about that smell.
Do the sheep and the goats and all the rest of the sacrificed animals, do they end up in heaven? Is that how it works?
What? No, I have no room for these animals in heaven. I mean, they're already annoying enough. Do you have any pets? They get annoying. They leave their business all over the place. They keep on needing to be paid attention to. No. It's a fucking nightmare. They just go to hell.
Okay, Herman wants to know. God, I want to know something. Why did you give me such a tiny dick? It's like a baby's dick. Hell, my 4-year-old brother has a bigger one than me. I wanted to know this all my life. Now I have the opportunity. Why, God, why? Oh, why?
Well, it's not really just about you. Okay? Really, it's just a process that I work with. The problem is your fucking tiny-dicked father. And somehow he managed to procreate. I guess it wasn't just about his penis size. So, I predict that while you won't leave a lot of descendants, like, it's a miracle that you are fucking born. But regardless, you know, this is how I mess with you. I mess with people in sort of a genetic codes. Every once in a while, I like to tap into that, make sure that you have the world's tiniest prick. Just to fuck with you. And succeeded I did. I mean, it is like the end of a peanut. It's disgusting.
Jean-Marie would like to know, God, why are you letting China become the most powerful country on this planet? I mean, they are highly secular or believe in something other than yourself. Something. Who knows? I mean, that seems counterintuitive. We all know what happened when America became the most powerful country. Everyone wanted to emulate what they'd become. So why are you going to let secularism flourish through China, huh?
Well, I mean, everybody knows that the best way to get people riled up is to ensure that there are strong ideological differences between people. And this represents for me probably the largest one, because you'll notice in any survey anywhere, most religious people, they fear atheists the most. So if I was going to create a massive boogeyman, I was going to make that boogeyman Asian, so scary looking because they don't look like you, and they're smarter, you know they are, and they're going to have just as much crazy sophisticated shit than you do, and probably more in 10 years. Because they're selling you their garbage. They're not even taking your shit jobs anymore. They're going to sell it back to you. That's going to be hilarious. So then when you're poor and afraid, I'm going to give you weapons and I'm going to say, go to battle and I'll join you there.
Okay, Babosa wants to know, dear God, is it a sin if I direct my prayers as request to my subconscious instead? I'm not worshiping any other deity, so is it still permissible?
No. No, the rules are quite clear. When you try to do the whole workaround thing, even thinking about doing that, you're going to hell. There's nothing you can do about it. But here's the cool thing. You can ask all the questions you want. You know where you're headed. But I can tell you how you got there. I mean, you'll have plenty of time to think about it.
Brennan wants to know, is America attempting to use neocolonialism as a means of furthering their foreign interests in the Middle East?
No, they're using it as a way of spreading my religion and spreading conflict, which is ultimately how I achieve more power, because people praise more when things are more miserable, and war brings the most misery. So please fight, please, in my name.
Milhouse wants to know, God, are you going to give any special treatments to those who bombed Oslo? I mean, do they get more virgins or what?
No, I'm pretty sure they're also going to hell, because they were making friends with other cultures, other people that don't believe in my xenophobic views, so, you know, it's bad news. But here's the cool thing. They get the nicer hell, you know. They don't really get the I just hate your guts hell. They get the I just don't care about you hell, which is probably where most things, including your dog, go. They go to I don't care hell. It's not particularly awful, but, you know, it's the kind of place where you would be subjected to, you know, Billy Joel music like 24/7.
Billy Joel music, eh? That does sound kind of like hell.
Well, at first you might think that you like it. You're like, hey, I enjoy Piano Man. Yeah, enjoy it a trillion times, will you?
Jesse wants to know, dear God, how could you let your followers change your word? First they pussified the New Testament, now they're making it gender neutral. What's up with that?
Oh my God, there is just such an infusion of pussyism in today's society. That's what I'm the most afraid of. We're all turning into such vaginas. I mean, there used to be a time where if your daughter was looking at someone that you didn't like, you could beat the crap out of her, kill him, and it would just be all good. And now the guy would probably go to jail. Is there no justice? And I'm talking about my kind of justice. Eye for an eye kind of thing. Blood feuding. I mean, that's how you get everything to just make sense to people. Keep them fighting, and everything else just appears less shitty. You know, oh, your crappy job you don't like. Don't matter, kill your neighbor. Well, if he's not like you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. Okay, Cypher asks, dear God, just where exactly is Waldo?
He's in hell. He's in the special I Hate You hell for hiding himself from me.
You couldn't find him?
Waldo is enigmatic. I mean, I couldn't even find Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Sometimes I lose stuff, and Waldo is just a reminder that I am imperfect.
Okay, Android asks, dear God, why did you put our anuses so close to our reproductive organs? Is infection something we need to experience to get closer to you? And why, oh why, do my balls have to dangle so precariously outside my body? And why design our mouths as word processors and food processors, making choking the fourth most common cause of death in the U.S.?
Okay, well, first I'll answer the testicle one. The reason is, if I kept the testicles inside your body, then they wouldn't explode during battle. So that's the first and most important part. The reason why the anus is so close to the reproductive organ is that when your reproductive organs explode due to impact during battle, and your anus will shoot shit out of it at like galactic speeds, it'll mix in with the testicle meat, and it'll just make kind of like this weird pile of goo that smells wonderful.
Wow, that's horrible, God.
Yeah, well, why else would it be there?
Poxline asks, dear God, why couldn't we all just be ponies instead, like unicorns and pegasi? Being human is dull, but if we were all magic, adorable, colorful, talking ponies, I think it'd be great.
No, your life is dull because you live in a world full of pussies, okay? If you lived back in the age where I was ruling shit and you were basically trying to survive, no one would complain about boredom, and of course if they did, they would be instantly killed. The idea is, you know, there's the suicide rate, by the way, in places where times are miserable is much lower than in places where people are enjoying themselves. So I'm trying to save your life by making life so shitty for you. Think about that.
Okay, Larry the Oracle asks, dear God, why did you make the universe so big, man? I mean, you made it just for us, so why do we need all this space? Is it an ego thing? Do you want to impress Zeus or something?
Well, I mean, you know the whole size thing. That's obviously, if you were going to build a universe, how big would it be? I mean, honestly, there is still a limit to the universe, by the way. There is a size. It's constantly getting bigger because, I guess I'm like Google, right? I just want to keep impressing people. There is this much storage space in the universe. So, yeah, I like to basically increase the storage capacity of this place ever so slowly. But to answer your questions more directly, it's so essentially I can have as much space between me and you. You know, my incorporeal self kind of encompasses all the universe. So if I want to ignore you, I need more of the universe. Otherwise, disproportionately, I would hear your voices. And it would be very fucking annoying because you're always asking me for shit. Can I have a bite? Please don't kill me. I'm starving to death. Send me some food. Just shut up, will you? Shut the fuck up. That's all I want, and therefore make the universe big.
Okay. Roger asks, what the fuck? Where have you been? Everything is going to shit. The lunatics and zealots all relish raptures so they don't care. Financial meltdown, Republican assholes, and Democratic wimps. Why do you let this nonsense go on? Are you just checked out? Dude, get your act together. I'm beginning to think you aren't real. Are you?
What are you talking about? I am getting my act together. How do you think I bring about the destruction and murder of 99.9% of y'all, right? Read Revelations, people. First, the world has to get pretty shitty at some point. You already had your years of peace, okay? Whatever, we'll count it as 7. Forget this whole number thing. We'll just say you had it, okay? Long enough. Remember my covenant with Abraham? I took 300 plus some years, right? Obviously, not a stickler to dates. 7 fucking years. I am going to kick his fucking ass. Why did he say that shit? And everybody thinks it's like 7 years of peace or some nonsense. God damn it. Anyways, I should say me, damn it. Me, damn it.
You want to do it again?
Oh, I'm just going to slice it right when I say, me, damn it. And then gotcha. I'll just end it right there.
Okay, we got one more. Android wants to know, would you kindly explain how blessings work? I just don't get what happens when one of your gullible followers condescendingly says, God bless you to me. Can any of your followers give blessings in your name, or do they need to be especially ordained like the Pope before being granted this wondrous power? And do you honor all blessings or only those you approve of? And then what happens? Do I lead a charmed life? If so, for how long? An hour, a day, the rest of my life? After death? Does it mean I won't go to hell, or is it in fact blasphemous for people to presume to speak for you? Please clarify this, if possible, with references to the Bible, so I can be sure what you say is true. Thank you, sir, your majesty, oh great one, or whatever form of address is most appropriate, and bless you.
Okay, well, here's the thing. It's got a dual use. Number one, if a person says God bless you to a person who is not a believer, it is an incantation marking you for hell. It's just a really polite way of doing it. Well, at least you think it's polite, but really it's just a curse when you don't believe. When you do believe, specifically what I mentioned, which is just so few people, it's not even worth mentioning, but I should at least be fair and tell you how to win this impossible game, is that if you utter it in the right way to the right people, then they get a guaranteed ticket to heaven. Although, again, it's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So few people fucking make it. And when they do, I just usually fuck around with them all the time.
Well, that's a little bit scary.
Yeah, I'm not even quite sure if heaven is a place you want to be around, because the whole deal is you're with me all the time. And that might sound great, and a lot of people are like, that's going to be wonderful, but if you see what I see, I mean, imagine Clockwork Orange times a billion.
So it isn't just all angels driving us, taxiing us around between our mansions and virgins and wine and happiness and perfect temperature, not this hot bullshit summer heat?
Look, you have a tiny monkey brain. You're lucky I even gave you some tiny fragment of consciousness. But if you are experiencing the universe with me as my little sidekick buddy, then you got to deal with everything that's going on simultaneously everywhere. How is your little monkey brain going to deal with that, huh?
It probably can't.
No. It's going to look like a big giant blur of horror. The only thing you're going to do is you're going to realize probably year 5 billion you've been screaming the whole time. Well, you would be, except for even in heaven, I can't heal you fast enough. So you're just kind of like Prometheus. You know, your vocal cords are exploding all the time. I'm trying to heal it. You're just yelling. So much yelling.
Is it painful?
Well, I think that you're in a zone where you probably don't even feel pain anymore. But if I'm not quite sure. You might also be screaming in pain, but you have no more vocal cords because they exploded. So look forward to that.
Wow. Okay. So that's heaven. Well, I think that might be a good place for us to stop. Well, God, I guess I'd like to thank you for coming and clarifying your vindictive processes to us.
Well, I'm glad that you used the word clarify, and And you know, I have plenty more designs for you since you are still alive right now. Who knows what they are? I do.
So, I'm sure we'll have you on again soon if you would be so kind. That we always have more questions, more interesting things happening in the world that confuse us as far as how they relate to you. So, in the meantime, all glory to God. Do not smite us. And we look forward to talking to you again, hopefully.
All right, and I'll see you in hell.